things are a lot more settled now. Obviously, it was quite a difficult period in the boardroom with the two directors that left. But with the support of the staff and with what's happened with, since the recruitment of the manager, we're definitely in a much better place already than we were, say, in the middle of May.
In terms of the recruitment of Owen Coyle, I remember back at the time, supporters were very, very keen, as they always are, to have a very quick resolution to it. Just how impressed were you by the level of candidates who wanted to take on Blackburn Rovers?
Very impressed. Again, if you listen to some people, Blackburn would be not a good place to go. But we received an awful lot of applications, some expected, some unexpected, some very high-calibre managers. And it took us some time to go through the applications. And as you know, Alan Irvine and Rob Kelly were very extremely helpful in that process. Owen Coyle wasn't on the list for a long time, but suddenly he came onto the list. And in a way, subsequent events have proven already that we think we've definitely made the right appointment. And it was good that we did take that little bit of extra time than we would have had, say, mid-season, to do that. So I did say we've got a bit of time, but I also said we need to do it as quickly as possible. And we've got the five players in, and we've got the new management structure in time for the pre-season tour. So it's been a very hectic period, but we're there.
How have you found the first month of working with Owen Coyle?
I absolutely really enjoyed it. He's such a positive manager, and he's delivering already. The acquisition or the retention of Danny Graham was a particular case in point, but the other signings as well have all generated excitement. And personally, he's been a real asset to the club. He does a really good media interview, as I'm sure you know. He's very accessible in that regard, but he's also very accessible to the staff. He recognises that the club needs to work together as a whole. I took him round to meet all the staff here at Ewood, and I can tell you that he took an hour and three quarters to meet everybody, each in turn, and he had a different conversation with each one of them. And it was just, not once did he look at his watch or express irritation. He's genuinely interested in the club, and so that's great to see as well.
In terms of going forward, we were, rightly or wrongly, under the impression that the coaching staff from Paul Lambert's regime would remain. Mm. Alan Irvine lasted a couple of days into pre-season. Mm. Mike, were you disappointed by that, seeing as it seemed to be a case that Paul Lambert's staff were part of the package?
Yeah, well, what we did say with the incoming managers in the interviews, if you like, that we wanted them to work with the existing team. We just, for example, we wanted to avoid all this compensation to outgoing managers and compensation to clubs to get whoever the manager might want to bring in as part of his team. So that was one of our criteria. And yes, I was disappointed to lose Alan Irvine, but it's like when you lose your best players sometimes. It happens. And what happened with Alan Irvine is he got an offer, which was a very good one for him. To be fair to Alan Irvine in particular, he always said, look, I'll happily stay. But he always said that it may well be the case that the manager will want to bring his own men in. I respect that and I'll move on. Alan had the offer. He is a really good opportunity for him. He's been extremely helpful all the way. He did stick around like he said he would do. He's been a real gentleman throughout this process, and we do genuinely wish him all the best. And now Owen's got somebody that he's familiar with, that he's got a good track record with as well. So everybody wins on that scenario.
Your background is finance, and you've managed to steer this club through some fairly choppy waters in the time that you've been here, Mike. Yeah. Whereabouts are Blackburn Rovers, say, in comparison to where they were this time last year? Yeah. You were under an embargo this time last year, weren't you? You're not now. Are you in a much better financial place or not?
We're in a much better financial place, but we're not where we need to be. We still are making settlements, payments in relation to prior periods and stuff like that, but the season just ended. We will be FFP compliant again, so that'll be 2 years running that we're out of transfer. Every season brings a new challenge, so we need to remind Owen, if he needs reminding, that we need to keep within FFP this year. Are we where we want to be ideally? Yeah, no, there's still a lot of work to do, but we're in a much better place.
Are the rules slightly better now in favour of clubs such as this that you can afford to spend or lose, if that's the right word, a more significant amount of cash than you did before?
They are more, a little bit more relaxed, which definitely helps. We will certainly utilise those rules to the best of our advantage, but that doesn't mean we're going to maximise the allowance. We've got to be careful that we manage the finances within that as far as possible anyway.
To get where you want the finances to be, is it a case of two things? You either need to get into the Premier League or sell players?
It depends what your overheads are. We need to deal with some of the overheads is one thing, and the playing squad budget, which is the biggest single item. Premier League would be certainly a massive wish for, but we're not going to rely on that. From time to time, we may sell players, but it's not, that wouldn't be driven by finance, as demonstrably we've proven, for example, with Jordan Rhodes. The owners have always supported, so we could have cashed in on somebody like Jordan Rhodes a lot earlier than we did. So we don't need to for cash flow purposes, but like I said before, sometimes you will find yourself in the position of having to sell your best players.
We're in a position at the moment that your captain is wanted by another club in this division. It's not a Premier League club. Does that make a difference to you in terms of whether you manage to get a deal done?
Again, if we get the right offer and the player himself wants to go, if we do get the right offer, then we wouldn't stand in the way of another Championship club.
Has he expressed a desire to go, Mike?
I'm not privy to that. Those discussions are between Owen and the agent. And so whether he's expressed a desire to go, I wouldn't know at this stage.
You've got some good players here that other clubs will covet, and you'll be doing the same at other clubs. Do you, I don't know whether fear or expect is the right word, that before the season starts, you might have lost one of your big hitters?
That's a definite possibility. I've always said if the club makes, somebody makes the right offer and the player himself accepts it, if those two things happen, then it happens all the time in football. It's the best solution for everybody concerned that happens. It's what you do next that's far more important.
Yeah, if you've got a fee that you're happy for a certain player, I suppose the supporters straight away think, well, what slice of that will Owen Coyle get? Does it money into the club have to go towards a debt first and foremost, or can it go straight back into the playing budget?
Yeah, certainly funds will be made available out of that. Whether it's all of them is another matter.
Can I just ask you about the process? If an offer comes into Blackburn Rovers, for example, this afternoon for one of your players, what happens with it, Mike? Do you take it to the manager? Do you take it to India? Is the final call here? Yeah. Is it over there?
A number of us are involved in the process. Is the valuation right? Is this clearly Owen Coyle is heavily involved. But obviously India do have an input in this because it's such a significant transaction. So there is, between us, we get consensus. And that is really the process. So there are a number of us involved. I'm involved, club secretary is involved, Owen's involved, and India are involved. So.
And it's only when the green light comes from India that ultimately a deal can be sanctioned or not?
Ultimately, but by then we're able to present our case, and definitely the understanding is much greater than it used to be. So that's another thing that's improved a lot. So that's understandable. It really is. It's their money at the end of the day, so they need to be consulted. So.
In terms of the off-the-field process at the moment, there was a job advertised, a really important one, actually, to be the go-between between India and here at Ewood Park. How's that process?
We've conducted a number of interviews. Advise the successful applicant once we've clarified a couple of points, but that will be strengthened significantly, the communications links between us and India, which can only be a good thing.
I think the owners suggested so at the end of last season, didn't they, to say that mistakes have been made and we need to communicate better. Will this person be based here or in India or a mixture of both?
It would be... It'd be a mixture of both, yeah.
In terms of, I just want to ask you about this new trophy that's coming about this season. It's called the EFL Trophy, Mike. It used to be the Johnston's Paints. Used to have all sorts of different names and guises. You're a Category 1 academy. You qualify for this competition if Premier League clubs continue to turn it down.
Yeah.
Have you had any correspondence with the Football League in terms of entering this competition?
Personally, I haven't, but I'm in the first instance, I'll need to hear what the academy manager has to say about that, because so as and when the opportunity arises, I will obviously consult with him first.
There's not too many clubs, apart from the ones who've already been invited, who are Category A standard, are there? So do you think it would be something Blackburn Rovers would be interested in entering if your academy manager was happy? Yeah. Do you think you need another competition to play football in?
That's not my decision on my own. I'd need to speak to a couple of people, but if it was felt across the team that's what we wanted to do, I would support that, yes.
In terms of just the support base at the moment, season ticket sales, the season is 3 weeks on Saturday. It's coming around very quickly. Are you hoping for a sort of late onslaught to come and beat last season's figures?
Well, we would love to beat last season's season ticket figures, but from where we were in mid-May, where it looked like it was going to be difficult, I can only say that we're very pleased with season ticket sales today. On a like-for-like basis, we're very comparable in terms of the number of trading days so far, and it is encouraging, and we will continue to work very hard behind the scenes, Owen with what he's doing, and us through all the channels available to us. We'll look to get as close to last season ticket sales as possible.
And I know that there is a change where the families will be situated. Am I right in thinking, unless the need arises, the Blackburn End upper tier will not be open on match days unless it is a game that's seen as significant enough to sell tickets for it?
That'd be correct, yes.
How difficult a decision was that to come to, seeing as it is seen as the sort of focal point where the fans go, Mike?
Well, we wanted to concentrate the fans closer to the pitch anyway, and you've got to think about the cost of operating something that wasn't being occupied to a great extent anyway. We want to improve the atmosphere first and foremost, so that was very much the logic. And if come the day that the demand warrants opening it again, then of course we will look at opening it again.
Just one on yourself, if I may, Mike. When you walked into Ewood Park for the first time and took the finance director's job, did you expect to be in the position that you are now?
No.
Pretty much the man who is the front of the boardroom, so to speak.
No, I didn't expect that. I came in as finance director, and obviously at the time that I was approached to assume the role that I've now got, I was aware that it was a difficult time. But I can only see potential at this club. So actually I thought it was very a real privilege to be given the role, and I'm particularly grateful to the support that I've had from the staff. It's been highly encouraging, and with what's happened subsequently, I'm really, really pleased that I agreed to take it on, and we start to fulfil the potential there. So it's really exciting times. So, yeah.
The owners of this football club, their commitment to it is always something that is spoken about by supporters. Mm. Supporters say, we need new investors. Mm. Supporters say, we need them to go. Supporters say all sorts of things. Not many of them say many positive things about the owners, Mike, which I'm sure you will appreciate at this moment. Mm. How is their commitment to this football club? Has it wavered at all in the time that you've been here and before?
The commitment, I don't think the commitment can be questioned. If it's about, they've come out and categorically said in May that they, with the statement that they did, and every month they deliver in terms of the funding, and they've honoured all their commitments. I've got no qualms whatsoever. The fact that we've just appointed communications between the two clubs is further evidence of the commitment. So I would never question their commitment. If I can speak on behalf of the owners, I think they have acknowledged that they've made mistakes, and they are literally, more than anybody, paying for them, in a literal sense as well. So they're honouring all of those. And then you also see our owners compared to some of the owners at other clubs, for example. And then, so I've got no qualms whatsoever about their commitment and what they're doing behind the scenes, if you like.